good to be back this evening, and hope you did have a good afternoon. Ours was fast and furious, so amen. If I skip a few beats tonight, y'all understand why. Amen. I tell folks I'm a retarded Texan. Amen. And but Don, that wasn't a place to say amen. That's so anyway, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to give us just a few things there, and then we'll just kind of get started. A couple of things that we'll be using, not exclusively, but this book, Perfecting the Saints, on the table over there. We will be using some lessons out of this, if you'd like to get one of those. And also over there is a by them is a plastic, I call it a coaching card that's laminated over there. I'll be using four spiritual principles that I have on there, some approach questions that I use. Let me say it this way. We in order to do some soul winning training, you have to have a basis. A foundation of what kind of plan you're going to use, and so I'll be using those. We'll look at that this evening for a little bit. Let me start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, though, if you would. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of reading God's Word, and we'll just look at a few things, and we'll get started with this evening's lesson. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something. Amen. Let me know you're there. All right, you got it? The Bible says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we come before you this evening, God, I need your help. I need your direction. God, please, I want to be a help to your people. God, our nation needs people of God that not only love you, but that love the lost, that love others. God, I just ask you now to meet with us for a little while, to just direct the thoughts of my mind. And God, please, just fill us with the Holy Spirit this evening. God, it is so clear, so abundantly clear, that without you we can do nothing. And so we must have the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Give us hearing ears, I pray now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I got saved September the 14th, 1981. It's a Monday morning. I had been raised in a Christian home, but had rebelled against my parents when I was 12 years old, started to rebel, sitting in a church pew. You forgive me now. I'm not trying to glorify sin, but as a 12-year-old, began to do drugs, began to just rebel against everything how my parents had raised me. At 16, I told my parents I'm not going back to church. I tell folks now, I guess, that my dad probably should have taken a baseball bat to me and straightened me out, but he did something even worse. He prayed for me. He did not like what I was doing, but we could go back and forth whether what they allowed or so on was right or wrong, but needless to say, I had rebelled. I was not. I had three older sisters that had done the same thing, and we all fought against my parents. Let me say this, man, be careful. You just never know how somebody else's kids are going to act or react. Don't kick somebody when their kids go wacky. Amen. Because that's exactly what we did. We went wacky. But at 16, I quit going. My mindset was I wanted to be a bass fisherman. That's what I wanted to do. Didn't want anything to do with God. I remember, I tell folks this sometimes, I'm out soul winning. One of the worst things, I think, one of the worst sins I ever committed was this, telling my parents I hated them. How in the world you could do something like that? The people that loved me, that brought me into this world, fed me, took care of me, clothed me, gave me a bed to sleep in, and I'm going to have the audacity to tell them I hate them. At 18, they kicked me out. They said, you can't live here. Please don't misunderstand. Again, I'm not trying to glorify sin, just trying to get you to understand where I came from. And I thank God, though, when I was 23 years old, the Holy Spirit of God showed up at my house.
Amen.
It's 6:30 in the morning. I was working in a steel mill there in Houston, and I woke up under conviction. I don't ever want to get over that. I knew what was going on because of how I'd been raised. I knew in my heart that the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with me. I knew I needed to get saved. And I knew where my dad was that morning. It's 6:30 on a Monday morning. He was sitting there at his kitchen counter reading his Bible and praying before he went to work. I called my dad that morning, and I was very emotional. I told my dad that I wanted to get saved.
Amen.
Whew, man, I'm so glad I got saved. I don't ever want to get over that. I really do not. It's been 37 years now. I don't want to get over that. My dad at first could not understand what I was saying because I was emotional. He thought that somebody had broken my apartment and beat me up and taken all my stuff. I said, no. I said, I want to get saved. I want you to pray with me. He said, yeah, let's pray. And so I prayed that morning, asked the Lord to save me. Again, it was on a Monday morning. There's two fellows that I worked with, Jasper Beatty and Richard, that were Christians that I had mocked, I'd cursed, I'd ridiculed. I apologized to them that morning and told them I got saved. And Richard looked at me, he shook his head. He said, anybody but you. And I thought, man, come on now. I'm not that bad a guy. But I was. I really was. But I had grown up at Trinity Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas. I lived at that point in some apartments, maybe a mile and a half from the church. And so, again, I got saved Monday morning. Wednesday night, I went to church. Nobody had to ask me. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to beg me. I got home from work. I got dressed, and I went down to the house of God on Wednesday night. The pastor I had grown up under had a heads up I was coming. And I got mad at him after church. They didn't have preaching that night. They had what is called a GA pageant. It's Girls in Action. It's a Southern Baptist missionary group. for young girls and getting them involved in missions. But he did give an invitation. I walked the aisle that night, and he looked at me, and he said, "What do you want?" I thought, well, that's not normal, you know. But he knew my life, and he had known me since I was a nursery baby. And I told him, I said, I'm tired of running from God. I got saved, and I want to get in and get right. And on Wednesday nights, it was a church of about 600. He said, "Get up there and tell the people." Great day. Talking about put pressure on a fella. But I did. I got up there, and most of the folks at that church knew me. And I told them that I was wrong, that I'd gotten saved, and I wanted to live for God. After about 6 months, I got laid off from that steel mill, and Brother Ken Garrett was our bus director. Brother Ken said, "That's great." He said, "I'm glad you got laid off. Now you can be a part of the bus ministry." And I said, "What's the bus ministry about?" He said, "I'll just show up Saturday morning." He said, "We have donuts, and then we'll have a meeting." And the donuts got me, amen. So I showed up at the bus meeting, and Brother Ken was going through his bus meeting, and he said, "Well, I want to introduce you to our newest bus captain." And he said, "It's Scott Netterville." And I'm going, "What's a bus captain?" And he sent me out with his two daughters, one of them about 11 and the other one 13. And they showed me how to go out and just knock doors and invite folks to church. For the next year, that's all I knew. I'd always get me a pocket full of tracts. I had bus flyers, and I'd go out on Saturdays, and I'd invite folks to come to church and ask them if they had kids that'd want to ride my bus and so on. And we had visitation, we called it, on Tuesday night, and there's a young man in our church, Brother Mike Minner, that had been at Tennessee Temple. He had had a bad car wreck. In fact, they thought Brother Mike was dead. Some men had picked him up out of the road there and to lay his body on the roadside to get him out of the street. Well, when they laid his body on the roadside, he just kind of, and came back to life, literally. You forgive my emotion, but to recall all of this just stirs my heart. Amen. Brother Mike had come home. He was not able to continue at Tennessee Temple because of his health, and he needed to come back to the Houston area for surgeries and so on. But anyway, he showed up one Tuesday night at visitation, and he took me out soul winning. That night, I knocked on the first door, and I pulled a track out of my pocket. I invited folks, like I'd been doing, asked them if they had any kids that'd like to ride the bus and so on. And I was so proud of myself, you know. And I was getting the gospel out. And Brother Mike knocks on the next door, and a man from India answered the door. And Brother Mike talked with him for a minute and then asked him a question I'd never heard anybody ask. And I thought, man. He said, "Sir, let me ask you, if you died today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" I thought, where'd you come up with that? I was amazed. I'd never heard anybody ask somebody that. And I thought, man, that's pretty sharp. The man said, "No, I don't know that for sure." Mike said, "I'd like to take my Bible and show you how you could know that for sure." And the man invited us in his home, called his wife and children in there. He had three kids. I don't remember if it's two boys and a girl or what, but his wife and three children came in the living room there. We sat down, had a big sectional couch. Mike pulled out his New Testament, and went through the gospel with those folks. And that man and his wife and his oldest daughter bowed their head that evening and trusted Christ as Savior. I have to be honest, I was bit. I said, "Man, where did you learn that? I have got to learn how to do that. I've never seen it before in my life." He told me, he said, "Well," he said, "where I go to Bible college," he said, they teach that there." At that time, he had transferred over to Texas Baptist College in Longview. And he said, "You ought to come up there and look at the college sometime." So I had no intention of, you know, really surrendering to preach or anything, but I wanted to learn that thing about soul winning. And so I went up there and looked at the college, and God spoke to my heart. And I went to Bible college just to learn how to be a soul winner. I have never gotten over that. And I have to be honest, I don't want to get over it. As a young Christian, and I mean very young, I mean maybe a week and a half I'd been saved, this passage that we just read was very influential in my life. In this, our pastor had announced that next, I went to church Wednesday night, the next Sunday night. I worked Sunday mornings at the steel mill. Sunday night I was in church. By the way, put my first tithe check in the offering plate that night. If you had never got a hold of that, you ought to get a hold of tithing. Amen. It'll bless your life. But the pastor had announced Tuesday night we're having visitation. Well, Tuesday night came around. I knew I ought to be there. But I let fear keep me from going. I thought, "Man, I don't know what to say." They had not said, you know, "You come and you can go out with somebody else," or anything. So I thought, "Man, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm not going up there and embarrassing myself." And so I, like the strong Christian that I was, week and a half old, I grabbed my Bible. I went back to my bedroom and let my Bible fall open. And this is the passage that it fell open to. If you would, let me read through it again. And watch, just read along with me as I read the passage. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. It says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you." Look at this, "in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I read that. I stopped right there at the end of verse 5. Man, I was under such conviction. I knew I should have gone down to church at visitation time. I got up, I got dressed. I got to church as fast as I could. Everybody's gone. I didn't know what to do. I went and grabbed me a pocket full of tracts, though. I knew if nothing else, I could at least invite somebody to church. That first Tuesday night, I went across. I was by myself, went to a subdivision right across from the church over on Preston. And I just knocked on a door. I'd take a track out. I'd say, "I'm from Trinity Baptist Church. I'd like to just give you an invitation if I could." I'd hand them a track and I'd move on. You know, too many times, folks, we know what's right when it comes to soul winning. But we have let that thing right there in verse 3. Look at it again. He said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." The biggest thing I believe that I've seen through the years that Satan uses against the people of God is that thing of fear. Fear is a factor when it comes to soul winning. I don't care who it is. I've talked to my pastor, Brother Angel. I've talked to other pastors. I've been knocking doors now for 36 and a half years. And every time I go, there's still that fear that I have to overcome. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what the situation is. We've just got to acknowledge that thing that, listen, fear's a factor. And that is the biggest thing that most Christians are going to have to overcome when it comes to the matter of soul winning. And I'll make that statement several times over the next several nights. But, folks, we can overcome that fear. We just stop and realize a couple of things. Take your Bible real quick. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Look down to verse 11. What I'll be doing over the next several nights is this, just giving us some practical principles, some biblical principles that we can use that will help us in our soul winning. In just a minute, we're going to go through a soul winning demonstration and try to be out of here in a timely fashion. But if you look, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan has certain devices that he uses. If you would, it's his M.O. Amen? It's his modus operandi. All right? It's how, and you can recognize it every time. Number one thing that Satan's going to use against you is your fear. To keep you from going. We need to realize that, listen, that is of Satan. But if we'll stop and remember, listen, back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, anybody know what that verse says? It says this, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we know that fear is coming from Satan, then we can defeat that thing. Hey, what is it that's part of the armor of God that we have? It's called a shield of faith. That all that fear is this, Satan throwing those fiery darts into your mind. I remember one of my Bible college teachers, Brother Wilkins, in fact, the man that wrote this book and several of the books that we have over there on the table, he used to say this. He said, y'all think there's some kind of big booger man behind the door. And he's going to eat you when he comes out of the door. And we all know there's no such thing as a booger man. Amen. They never has eaten me. But he used to teach us, man, that thing of fear, that will keep you from going. And I guess if there's one of the biggest things that I could encourage you about is realize that fear is not from God. That we live by faith, not by sight. Amen? And we can overcome that fear with God's help. If we know where it's coming from, then by faith we can defeat it. We do not have to accept that fear. We don't have to live in that fear, and we can overcome it. All right? I want to do this. Garrett, let me get you to help me real quick. Go back here, grab a couple of chairs, and bring them and set them right down here. I'll take tonight and just, I just want to go through, turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Acts 20 and verse 20. Yes, sir, just set them right there, be fine. Anyway, go ahead and have a seat right there. All right. He didn't know this was going on, so... It says there, if you look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, taught you publicly and from house to house. This morning in Sunday school, I was talking about how God has a plan. I believe that's the plan. Paul laid that out there here in Acts chapter 20. That's a plan that he used to train people how to win souls. He would sit down in a demonstration, and we'll do that tonight. I'm going to do my best, try to get Garrett saved tonight. Amen. He needs it. So So, you know, I looked around, looked for the most rebellious kid I could find. There he was. So, anyway, we're going to go through just a demonstration. Let me say this again. Many of you folks, I know you're in an established church. You are soul winners, or maybe in the past you have been a soul winner. I'm not trying to remold or remake you into what I think you ought to be. What I want to do is try to help add some things to you that will be a benefit. Because, listen, I said it this morning. I'm gonna preach it until I'm go hoarse, I guess. Our nation's in trouble. And we cannot continue down the same path and expect things to change. It will not happen. We have to change. We have to get back to where we have a fire, an urgency. Remember when the Jesus in the Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends back or ascends up into heaven. The apostles are standing there looking. It says they're gazing up into heaven. The angels ask, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? And I'd say, man, that's where a lot of Christians are today. They're just kind of hanging around and they wonder when the Lord's coming and, man, isn't that preaching great? And that's when Jesus said there's an urgency. We've lost our urgency. I mean, when it boils down to it, folks out there are dying and they need to hear it before they die. We're dying. I'm convinced, man, that trumpet's going to blow pretty soon. And if it blows, then, folks, we're done. You realize you've got family that'll no longer be able to get saved. I believe once they've heard the gospel, the Bible's clear. They'll believe a lie. They'll believe the delusion of Satan. They'll not have the opportunity to get saved. And so, man, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's folks out there, folks, we've got to take this thing of soul winning seriously. And get back to where we have an urgency about it, where we have a boldness about it. And I'm just going to take I'll use a simple Romans Road type plan, but please bear with me because I'm going to talk about some stuff that I think we need to expose amongst independent Baptists. First thing is this, we better get back to relying on the Holy Spirit of God when we go soul winning. See, that's what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said it's got to be in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And we've got to learn. Listen, the Satan's lied to us. He's told us that you don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. And there's many a Christian that I've heard through the years, man, I don't know the will of God. I don't know how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute. Jesus said, I believe it's in John chapter 10, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. One of those two is a liar. I'm going to stick with Jesus. Amen. Now, granted, the closer we are in fellowship, the easier it is to hear His voice. Amen. But let's be honest. We can hear His voice. And it is a must, as we're talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Man, you can't... If we use the same thing all the time, we're going to become mechanical. We can't afford to be mechanical. This guy's soul depends on it. We cannot be mechanical. We've got to learn to do some things differently than what we have done in the past. Amen. And as I go through, I'll talk about it. And two, if you have questions, please stop me. Raise your hand. We'll do our best to try to answer questions. Preacher said it this morning, this evening. It's more of a teaching time than it is preaching. And so please feel free to stop and ask any questions that you might want to. All right? I'm just going to take Garrett. I'm going to act like I'm out just knocking doors. But understand, man, please get a hold of this. Soul winning's not a time and a place. Soul winning's a lifestyle. You ought to be a soul winner everywhere you go. Amen. And it's not just when preacher says, all right, this soul winning time. Now, I believe you ought to attend that too. But soul winning must be a lifestyle. But I'm going to treat Garrett just like I'm out on the streets, maybe knocked on his door, and going to talk to him and see if we can't get him saved, all right? Now, I don't want you to be a knucklehead, all right? You don't give me a hard time. Amen. Brother Chad, good night. Had him. I was using him as the center. He wanted to give me a hard time. I almost kicked him out. Mr. Ian back there. See, while you were gone, preacher, I was trying to use her as a demonstration. And what she do? Just like Chad. I had to kick her out of. I told her get out of my preaching. Leave my illustrations alone from now on. Amen. All right.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? My name's Scott. Let me encourage you now. Number one, always carry your pocket full of tracks everywhere you go. Can I say this? You're not even looking to really lead somebody to the Lord. You're not carrying some tracks with you. It is an open door. By the way, it's an invitation everywhere you go. Man, whether it's the lady down at Walmart, the cashier, at the bank, it doesn't matter where you go. Carry your pocket full of tracks. Be ready always. That's what it says, by the way, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And be ready always to give an answer to every man. So we ought to be ready. Amen? So get your pocket full of tracks. You ought to make the preacher mad at you for using all the tracks. He ought to be, man, say, listen, we're spending too much budget on tracks. Y'all are going to have to slow down. Amen. I won't go there. All right. Amen. Hey, listen, and I do this. On the back here is y'all's information. I always hand a track with the church information side to them. I do that just to introduce them. I want them to understand I'm from a legitimate church. I'm not some wacko out there. Let me say this up front. We got some that are spiritual Fruit Loops. You know who you are. If you're a spiritual Fruit Loop, cut that out. People think we're weird already, amen? And then when you're a Fruit Loop out there talking to folks, it makes it worse. Amen. Y'all breathe easy right there now. Amen. But listen, how many of y'all are just real people? A few of y'all, anyway. We're just real folks. Amen. And so as we go and talk to people, we just want to be real. Amen. So get you a pocket full of tracks, though. Introduce yourself. Hey, my name's Scott. I'm from First Baptist Church over there in Amboy. Let me give you an invitation. What's your name?
Garrett.
Garrett. Good. It's good to meet you, Garrett. You from around here? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Lived here all my life.
Lived here all your life. Good. Well, where'd you go to school?
I was homeschooled.
Oh, really? Yeah. I know about them homeschool people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I just want to make conversation with somebody. I've seen some folks, they want to just tackle people with the gospel. Hi, I'm from First Baptist. Hey, are you going to heaven or hell? You be honest, you just about lost them. Amen? So don't do that kind of thing. Just try to, man, look around. Find some common things that you might see, common interest maybe. If they have toys out in the yard, they got kids, you might ask about their kids, things like that. But I want to just, in general, make conversation with them as I get started, all right? And all I'm trying to do is maybe build a little bit, a quick relationship with this person so that they just understand, hey, we're just out in the neighborhood inviting folks and knocked on his door. So, good. And how old are you?
I'm 18.
18. Well, good, Garrett. Well, listen, did you grow up in church or anything?
No.
All right. Yeah, that's a good answer right there. No, no is a real good answer. Did you know that, Dan? All right. Listen, I don't know. I grew up in church, and so, I know a lot of folks never went to church or anything. Did you ever go with grandma and grandpa or anything like that? Just go ahead and say, yeah. I win every once in a while. Okay, yeah, there you go. Amen. So that's great. And listen, we're not out trying to take folks from their home church or anything. And I'll tell folks that, especially if they tell me they go to church. And y'all know this. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they're saved. Amen. Especially if they tell you, man, I go to the local Lutheran church. There's a lot of that down there where Brother Chad is. A lot of Protestant churches, Catholic churches. Man, if he tells me I go to a Catholic church, I'm going to tell him, man, we let Catholics in half price over there, you know. I just do that. I want to make light. I want to just try to break the ice with this guy and get him to talk with me, all right? So, listen, we'd like to invite you. Love to have you come out and visit with us sometime. Listen, let me ask you something. Have you ever thought much about spiritual things?
Not really.
Yeah? So, all right, well, you know, especially young people don't necessarily do that, but, you know, the Bible teaches this, Garrett, that when a person dies, they're going one of two places. They're either going to heaven or they're going to hell. Given those two choices, where do you want to go when you die?
Heaven.
Yeah, that makes pretty good sense to me. I had one smart aleck teenager one time tell me he wanted to go to hell. All his friends were there, and he's going to party with them. I noticed he is a smoker. So I asked him, I said, hey, can I borrow your lighter? He handed me his lighter. I said, would you hold your hand out for a minute? He held his hand out. I took the lighter and lit it up. He said, whoa, what are you doing? He's just getting you started. Amen. I'm not always that ornery, but he just made me mad, you know. Amen. But, again, folks... Listen, I've learned, man, it's a whole lot more joyous in life just to have fun than it is to be a stick in the mud. And when you're talking to people, if you just make light of things and just have a good time talking with people, you don't have to let them know you're afraid, because, listen, this guy has no idea what I'm up to and what I'm trying to do. He doesn't know what I'm supposed to say, what I'm not supposed to say. So I'm just going to talk with him like he's a friend, or at least like I'm trying to make him a friend. If he gives me that opportunity, we've got to just befriend folks, all right? Well, listen, do you believe the Bible's true, Garrett? No? What do you think about God and those kind of things, man?
I don't think it's real.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Don't think it's real. So you said a while ago you'd like to go to heaven. I'm going to use his own words against him, amen?
Yeah.
So you said you'd like to go to heaven. And if the Bible's true, it's the one that teaches about heaven, why would you think, well, I want to go to heaven, but I don't believe God's true? I got him now. Let's go back to where you believe the Bible, all right?
Okay.
Amen. All right. So, all right. Amen. Knucklehead. I always pick the wrong one.
Yep.
So listen, if you died today, what do you think would happen? Listen, I use on my, on this laminated card right here, I have at the top what's called five approach questions. What I'm wanting to do is I want to take the conversation from just a general conversation into spiritual things. A lot of times that's where we get tripped up, you know, because it's easy to invite somebody to church. It's easy to talk about the weather or school or, you know, something like that. But to get it to a spiritual talk sometimes is where we really kind of get tripped up. So I have, and I don't use these exclusively all the time. You heard what I just used. But on the card it has this. Do you go to church anywhere? Are you interested in spiritual things? If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? May I show you from the Bible how you can know for sure? That last one is really where I'm looking to get. This is the thing. I want permission to go through the Bible with them. If they give me permission, then I'm all right. Listen, most of us know how to read body language and stuff. You can tell if they've answered the door and they are doing this while you're talking to them, then you know they don't want to talk to you. And I told a fellow yesterday, I am not in the arm twisting business. That's, you want to give somebody a bad taste in their mouth for First Baptist? I mean, just keep on pushing them when they don't want to be. Listen, folks, please get a hold of this principle. God wants folks saved more than we do. Amen? And so we can trust Him while we're out soul winning. We can. We've got to. So if God's not working in this guy's heart, am I going to get anywhere anyway? Not going to do it. Now, obviously, I still want to try to plant the seed, amen? But while I'm planting the seed, I want to understand. Man, there's so many things I want to say here. You don't have to lead somebody in prayer. I mean, you remember there in 1 Corinthians? It says that, I can't even remember, some planted the seed, others watered, and God gave the increase. All right? Sometimes we're just planting seed. Sometimes we're watering the seed that's already been planted. Sometimes we get to reap the harvest, amen? But that's not always the case, and you don't always know where they are in the process. It may be that it's the first time that somebody's ever talked to them about the Lord. Man, they're excited, they accept it, they want to get saved, but it may be the first time they heard, and they're not fixing to get saved today, whether you like it or not, because they want time to sit and think on it. Personalities are different. And that's where it takes listening to the Holy Spirit of God and following His direction. And not worrying about, preacher, I know this is the truth. We got wrapped up in worrying about what the result was. Man, worried about what everybody's going to think. Well, man, you're not much of a soul winner if you didn't have 4 or 5 saved this week. Let me help you right here. Cut that stuff out. Just cut it out. We're not in the numbers game. I said it this morning. We are in the people business. We've got to treat them like they're real people. You've got to treat them like they're your family. Amen? And so if you see somebody, they're not interested, don't try to force it on. Man, I'm serious. I remember fellas teaching, man, stick your foot in the door. You're not a Fuller brush salesman. Don't stick your foot in the door. Man, just trust God that He wants them saved more than you do. And that, you know, God's going to get you as far down the road as you can. And just trust Him with those kind of things, all right? So, Garrett, let me, again, if you died today, what do you think would happen to you? Just say you're not sure.
I'm not sure.
All right. Listen, you'd like to go to heaven, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. If I'd take my Bible and show you how you could know for sure you was going to heaven, would you allow me to do that? Say yes. Quit thinking on that kind of stuff, man. I'll knock you down. All right. Let me just show you 4 simple things. All right. All right. Amen. Hey, listen. If Christians can't have fun, who can? Amen. I enjoy being a Christian. Amen. Let me show you 4 simple things from the Bible, if I could, quickly. Number one is this. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all right there, who does that include?
Everybody.
It's everybody. I want you to know a few things I'm doing. First, I want to keep this guy involved. Remember there in the parable of the sower, the first fella that the seed is sown there? What happens with that first person? Yeah, the fowl of the air come and steal the seed. Amen. Every time you try to talk to somebody about Christ, listen, Satan's going to show up. Our job is to learn to do this. It's to shoo away birds. He's going to show up. I got to shoo him away. All right? How do I do that? Several things. I'm going to ask this guy questions to keep his mind focused. All right? I'm going to use a conversational method. If you talk at people, nobody wants to be talked at, amen? He wants to be talked to. And so I'm going to talk to him in a conversational method. I'm going to use hand gestures. I'm going to ask him his name. Boy, this is one of the worst ones for me. Ask him his name, remember it, and use it. Amen? How many of y'all are bad with names? Oh, my. I'm awful with names. Yesterday, again, Brother Chad and I were out, knocked on the door, talking to this lady named Cindy. I could not remember her name. I had to ask it again. That embarrasses me. But listen, ask their name, remember it, and then use that. Remember when I remember one time we were down at Silver Dollar City. We're walking in, and somebody hollered, "Netterville's." What's my immediate reaction when they did that? And you turn to look. What somebody uses your name, it causes you to refocus. So learn to use those kind of things. Why? Shoo away birds. Amen? To help keep this guy focused. All right? So that word "all" right there, who does that include?
Everybody.
It's everybody. Listen, we've all done things. We knew they were wrong, yet we did them anyway. The Bible says, "For all have sinned." Look at this, and come short of the glory of God. Hey, I want you to do something. Reach up there and touch the ceiling right there. Why not?
Too high?
No, you're too short. See, that's what it says right here. And come short of the glory of God. See, what God's trying to get across is this, Gary, that you and I fall short of going to heaven because of our sin. Listen, we've got to learn to maybe dwell here for a bit. You can't just tell him he's a sinner. If he doesn't get it, we've got to stop and dwell with it. Because if he's not lost, he's got no reason to get saved. So we need to make sure they get the point. Amen? I'll use illustrations. I'd encourage you, learn how to illustrate spiritual principles. Jesus did that all the time in his teaching. He's talking to fishermen. He talks about being a fisher of men. He's talking to a woman at the well. He's talking about living water. Those folks, remember Fish Sandwich Sunday? And they go to the other side of the lake. Jesus shows up over there, and they start asking him about things, and he talks to them about the bread of life. See, the truth is, if we would learn just a biblical principle of illustrating biblical principles. It will help us. And the Holy Spirit can use that. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned." Understand, this lost guy does not understand spiritual things at all. He cannot. That's what that verse says. All right? So if we will learn to illustrate those things, just take a natural event and give it a spiritual understanding, then the Holy Spirit can use that to help him to understand spiritual things. I'll talk about, when you said you're not sure, that really you're that bad a guy. Let me help you to understand about sin and how it's our nature. When I was a little boy, my mom was leaving to go next door, and I'd ask her if I could have some cookies. She said no. And I got up on the counter. She left. I got up on the counter, got in the cookie jar. I had cooked crumbs all over my face, crumbs all over the counter, and Mom walks in. She said, "Scott, you been in that cookie jar?" What'd I say? That's exactly what I said. Dumb as a box of rocks, amen? No, ma'am. Nobody had to teach me how to lie. See, we do that by nature. How old were you when your mom sat you down and taught you how to tell a lie? She didn't do that, did you? You know what? But I know something about you. You're good at lying, aren't you? Huh? Yeah, we all are. And this is the thing. If Mom caught you lying, you was in trouble, wasn't you? See, the thing is, nobody had to teach us how to sin. We do that by nature. And understand that the Bible says, again, that sin causes us to fall short of heaven. All right? Let me show you the second thing here. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen, you know what a wage is. That's just something you earn for a work that you've done. The Bible said we've all worked the work of sin, and we've earned to ourselves, what does it say there?
Death.
I want you to understand, it's not just a physical death. You know, the Bible talks about a second death. Have you ever seen that in the Bible? Let me show you. It's not something spooky or mysterious, anything like that. In fact, when you see it, you'll say, okay, that makes sense. Over here in Revelation 21:8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Boy, I named some pretty bad people, didn't it? Believe this. And all liars. Well, that got all of us, didn't it? It says, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Look at this. Which is the what?
Second
death. See, all God's saying there, Garrett, is this. Those folks that die in their sin, and that's all he listed there. He said they're going to die a second death or a death to their soul. That death will be, he said, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Listen, what do we call that lake of fire? Do you know?
No.
That's exactly right, man. That's what hell is. So when he said, for the wages of sin is death, that death is a death in hell. See, you need to understand, none of us are born ready to go to heaven. In fact, the Bible says that we deserve death. In other words, because I've sinned against God, because you've sinned against God, we have earned to ourselves a wage. The payment we owe God is, again, what?
Death.
And where is that death?
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to continue. I want to keep him involved. I want to keep his mind thinking. So I'm going to ask him questions. I want to hear his answers. Man, y'all can tell when somebody's distracted or they're not listening. Listen, if they're distracted and not listening and you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, that's enough, then stop. No, don't be scared to stop. We want to get the seed planted. But again, it is a must. Man, if I'm going to stress it time and again, it is a must that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He knows that person's heart. He knows their spirit. He knows what they'll listen to and what they won't. We have to trust him. We have to. We got away from that back in the 70s and 80s as independent Baptists, and we hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
We've got to get back to where this is God's work. And y'all understand, he knows our frailties. Y'all get that? Amen? And can I say this? There's not a professional soul winner. There's nobody that's perfect at it. Amen. In fact, people that I've met that thought they were perfect at it, were not. I mean, they had become mechanical at it and stuff. And folks, we cannot afford, again, to do that. So it's a must that we just... Man, we're just the whole time asking the Holy Spirit, you know, what to say. Remember back over in Jude, it said of some have compassion, making a difference, other pulling them out of the fire. I can't remember. I'm not quoting it right. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. All right. So some folks are going to respond to the love of God. Some folks are going to respond to the judgment of God. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I really did. Other folks respond, man, when they hear of how God loved them there in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've got to learn to emphasize, to listen to the Holy Spirit and emphasize what this guy's going to respond to. And we can do that, folks. God will direct us. Why? Because he cares about this person. And he knows what he's going to respond to. And so we've got to, again, I'll stress it over and over and over and over. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him be the one that directs in the soul winning. All right? So understand, man, according to the Bible, if you die in your sin, what's going
to
happen? Go to hell. But listen, I want you to understand, that's not what God wants for you. Man, he made you. He created you. He wants you in heaven with him. Look what he said at the end of that verse. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, I don't know about you, but I like Christmas. You like Christmas? You know why I like Christmas? I like Christmas because my wife gets me gifts. Yeah, she goes out and she gets me stuff don't cost me nothing. Yeah, right. But understand, there's something about a gift, man. To the person that's getting the gift, it's free. But to the person giving the gift, they have to pay the price for it. Listen, God said, I've got a gift for you. What is it?
Eternal life.
And listen, if that death is in hell, where must eternal life be?
Heaven.
It's in heaven. That's exactly right. So listen, God said, I got a gift for you. It's eternal life in heaven. And listen, He's already bought and paid for it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand that. I want you to get the picture that God said, hey, you owe me a death in hell. But I want you to understand, I've got a gift for you. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. God said, it's through Jesus Christ that we get that gift. The reason He said it's through Jesus is back here in Romans 5:8. Look at this. It said, but God commendeth, or He showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, look at this, Christ, what?
God.
For?
Us.
Listen, He paid the price. Literally, what He is doing there on the cross is this. He was paying the price or purchasing that gift for us. See, God said, I love you, Garrett. I want you in heaven. The only way you can get into heaven is through the gift that I give you. And this, for too long, we got to where we stopped right there. We talked about Christ's death, and we kind of moved on from that. Let me encourage you. You remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16? Anybody know that verse? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. See, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What? Somebody help me out. What's the gospel? There you go. Three things. Death, burial, and resurrection. You ever thought about why the resurrection is important, folks? Listen, He proved He had victory over sin and death. Thereby, He and He alone can forgive sin. In the age that we're in, there are a lot of nuts dying in the name of religion. We've got to separate Christ from those nuts. Amen. And how did He, how do we separate? Man, through the resurrection. That's the power of God unto salvation. So we've got to learn, get the resurrection back in our soul winning. Don't just talk about the death, but let's go forward from that. See, not only did He die for us, but listen, you remember what Easter is about, Gary? It's not just a bunny rabbit or something. See, the Bible teaches this, Garrett, that on the third day, Jesus was resurrected, or He rose up out of the grave by His own power. What He did there, Garrett, was this. He proved He had victory over sin and death, and thereby He and He alone can forgive sin. All right? So when it says, but God commendeth, or He showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't just die. He rose again so that you and I could have forgiveness of sin. So understand, first, we've sinned against a holy God. We're guilty. Man, we've done things. You've done things. We knew that's wrong, yet we did them anyway. Second thing we need to understand is, listen, we, because of our sin, we owe Christ a payment. What we owe God is this, a death in hell. I don't know about you, I don't want to go to hell. God said, I don't have to. That His Son died in my place. And because His Son died in my place, I can have God's gift of eternal life in heaven. But I've got to be willing to do this. I've got to be willing to respond to what God's done for me. Let me show you over here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 is how God wants us to respond. Look right here. It says, for whosoever Man, who does that include?
Whosoever.
Yes, it's just anybody, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So we could put your name there, for if Garrett shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be what?
Saved.
That word saved means two things. First, it means you've been forgiven of all your sin. Second, it means you've been given God's gift of eternal life in heaven. Listen, you read pretty good, don't you? I asked because you was homeschooled, all right? It says right here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, might be, is that what it says? What does it say?
Shall.
Maybe. Hope so. Huh? You know what that word shall makes that? Makes it a promise from God. God promised that if you'd call on Him, He'd do what? He'd save you. That He'd give you His gift of eternal life in heaven. Listen, you said earlier that you'd like to go to heaven. You mean that?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, do you understand you've sinned against a holy God?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, because of your sin, what do you deserve?
Go to hell.
That's exactly right. We're guilty before God, Gary. But God's in love with us. He sent His Son to die in our place. He rose again, victorious over sin. And now we can receive forgiveness through Him. The Bible says now, if we just respond to God by doing what? What does it say there? To call upon the name of the Lord. All that means simply is this, Gary, that we just talk to God. And we just ask Him for salvation. Just ask Him, God, would you save me? I believe this. The Bible teaches, though, that in our heart we've got to understand we deserve hell. We're guilty. All right? The Bible says what we need to do is turn from our sin and ask God for forgiveness. Listen, would you like to be saved today?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to call on the Lord and ask Him to save you?
Mm-hmm.
All right? We'll work on the clothes later. I'm not going to go into that. It's already late. But man, the most important time in soul winning, really, is the invitation time. Making sure that they respond to God. We'll talk about several things and, you know, making the message clear, using words easy to be understood and so on. When we get somebody to this point, obviously, I'm not a proponent. I'm not against it, but I'm not a proponent of just saying, listen, just pray this prayer. Prayer don't save nobody. Y'all get that? Amen? And so I'm going to offer him an opportunity. I'm going to tell him, look, what I'd like to do, Garrett, I'm going to just pray and ask God to help you to understand the things I've showed you, okay? Then I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell the Lord what's in your heart. I'm going to go back through, I'm going to summarize in my prayer the plan of salvation again. And then I'm going to say, now, Garrett, you just tell God what's in your heart, what you'd like for Him to do for you right now, all right? Now, we'll focus more on the last night, on the close, but I let's let God do the work.
Yeah.
I believe this. The morning I got saved, long before my dad prayed a prayer with me. I believe when I, by faith, I'd already reached out to God in my heart and said, I want to get saved. I believe at that point, that's when I got saved. Because it's by faith. It's not by prayer. And so, you know, man, if this guy's sincere and he does want to be saved, you're not going to have to jerk a prayer out of him. Now, I'm not against, because some people are. They're intimidated. They're socially awkward. I said that. Brother Chad was my example this afternoon. I said some folks socially awkward. Everybody in church started laughing. They said, yeah, that's Brother Chad. So, but some folks are. They're just kind of socially awkward. They are embarrassed to pray because they may have never prayed in front of somebody. If I feel like that's the situation, then I will lead them in a prayer, but I'm going to talk to them about that first. And again, we'll go over all of that. All right? Any questions? comments, preacher? All right. If there's no questions, then we don't need to come back tomorrow night. And all right. Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate your help. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand.